This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, hey, the NBA is back, baby. And pretty soon, those of us, I'll include myself in that, who love the Stanley Cup postseason, the puck will be dropping in Edmonton and Toronto. I've seen a lot of you get pretty excited about the exhibitions, and that will be for reals coming up on Saturday. And so three of the four major team sports have returned. That's got to feel good after all the months that we have waited. And speaking of months in the rearview mirror, I just had this thought. We're about to put the month of July in the rearview mirror. It's seriously hard to believe. It's almost impossible for me to wrap my brain around. I say that to you at the end of every month, but it's true. And the deeper we get into 2020, the truer it becomes. So I just put this post up on Twitter. I'll put it up on Facebook as well. In your world, what was the best thing about the month of July? It wasn't all bad, so don't try to tell me it was. I got to go to the beach twice, and the ocean, the shore, watching the sunrise from the east over the water on a quiet stretch of beach, that is one of my favorite sights on the planet. It takes my breath away every time, and I got to see it twice in the month of July. And that's just one of my best things about this last month. So find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. The best thing about the month of July in your world. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. The NBA is back, baby. We are pleased to welcome Mark Hestischer, the national radio voice of the NBA on ESPN Radio, and has the privilege of being inside the bubble. After 4 months, Mark, we waited 4 months. We're finally underway in Orlando. What are your overall impressions of the games, the bubble, no fans, the whole thing?
Yeah, I'm pretty impressed, Amy. We'll see if it holds up to the end. I think it will. You know, medically, they've had a couple of rounds of testing so far and been very fortunate to have zero positive tests. To me, it's always been about the mental part of it, to be away, not only just be away from home for 3 months, but, you know, to be in one spot and be away from your family. I know family will be able to come here eventually, you know, after the first round or so, but it seems like it's going to be a big mental grind. I'm very impressed with what I've seen from the 2 weeks leading up and the first day of the seeding games. The NBA has spent a lot of money to make this, you know, top-notch. And so far, so good on day one of the restart.
It definitely feels like, on TV anyway, there is an intensity to it. Regardless of no fans in the stands, this weird atmosphere, neutral site, no home court advantage. And yet, from what I could see on TV with the players, they seem to ramp up the intensity.
They really did, and I think they know, you know, guys on the bench know they got to, you know, bring some energy for the guys on the floor. I thought it was cool that Damian Lillard and Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan, Carmelo Anthony, to name a few, maybe they just wanted to get out of their room, but I think they also wanted to see Lakers Clippers and see some of their pals, and I'm sure they couldn't help but even cheer as well, you know, when you see a really good play. And I don't know if the, you know, the piped in crowd is doing anything for them energy wise, but I do think teammates from the bench and also just being a self starter, and the Lakers showed that in the first quarter and the Clippers did not. And I know it wasn't a vintage Clippers team, you know, they're still dealing with guys that are away from the bubble or in quarantine right now. But I thought, you know, considering how this rivalry has really heated up this year with all the acquisitions, I thought what we saw in Los Angeles the first three times we broadcast this series, what we saw today, I thought was a reasonable facsimile. I thought those guys pretty much were able to bring their own energy and intensity, and if they end up meeting in the Western Conference Finals this year here in Orlando with no fans, I think it'll be ratcheted up even more somehow.
As you say, the Lakers with a 35-point burst in the first quarter, and though they did trail later on, they were able to finish strong as well. Mark Kestisher, the national NBA voice on ESPN Radio, inside the bubble, finished calling a 2-point win by the Lakers over the Clippers as they get their 50th victory on the season, despite the fact that there were 20 weeks since their last one. So what was your perspective in Orlando? Where is your perch?
We are about 70 feet off the floor. It's I'd never been at the arena. I've called a college basketball tournament at the HP Pavilion, which is down the road and one of the three sites they're playing at. And they built a platform about 70 feet up, and it's a large plexiglass. And they built enough booths to house the TNT broadcasters who were there tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And the ESPN broadcasters who will be there tomorrow. And, you know, the ESPN guys have their own spot. Turner has their own, so they don't have to clean. And, you know, they could set it up the way they want to. And then there's a table behind them. And we've got about, I don't know, 15, 20 feet for the four of us to spread out. So I have to look through plexiglass, which is about 20 feet in front of me.
Okay.
And there's a couple of weird angles where you're looking at the floor, but I do have a program monitor and a stat monitor, and I was pleasantly surprised. I've called games, obviously, you know, without any barrier for many years. I've called games off monitor when it's been necessary, you know, it was too far to travel, whatever, and that has its own set of challenges. So I was expecting it to be a little more difficult, and I thought for night one, I was happy with it. We'll find some ways to tweak some things. But overall, it's a really cool setup, I think, even for the media. I ran into Steve Ballmer, the owner of the Clippers.
Wow.
He's even made his way in, and there's a little perch they'd set up on either side. I believe that would be, you know, down the road if ESPN had a studio show on one side, Turner would have their studio show on the other side, and the commissioner, Adam Silver, Steve Ballmer, some other folks were taking the game in from that side. So it's eerie, I guess would be a good word. Obviously, we're in unprecedented times, you know, as a country, as a world, and from a sports perspective, too. And so it all just kind of added up tonight. And I guess we always talk about a new normal. We'll be used to this in about a week or two, and it'll just be clocking in for work.
What did it sound like to you inside the arena?
Well, the funny thing is, and you'd appreciate this, you know, from a radio side, when you put your headphones on and you hear the sneakers squeaking and the virtual fans cheering, sometimes you forget that you're in a fanless arena. Mm-hmm. And it actually sounded pretty authentic. And then, you know, the broadcast ends and I take my headphones off and I'm talking at the same volume and I realize, why am I shouting? It's very quiet here. So it's odd. It's very, I don't know how to explain it except to say, you know, there's nobody there, but when the headphones are on, you feel like you're one of, I don't want to say 20,000, but that you, there's a lot of people there, and it's a very, very strange feeling.
Interestingly enough, I'm glad you said that, because I was listening to the fourth quarter that you did with John Barry on ESPN Radio, and when you were calling the end, the putback by LeBron James, and then, of course, the last second missed attempt by Paul George, you guys were amped up. Like, you, I wouldn't say you were yelling, but you were using extra volume because the noise behind you was so loud. I actually thought, wow, they have got this crowd noise piped in so loud that the broadcasters have to talk over it. I mean, does it really feel like that when you're doing the game?
I would love to know. I say yes, yes. It felt as normal as, you know, as anything I've done. I mean, there's been times where I can't hear myself over the crowd, and it certainly wasn't that. I probably should give credit to our engineer, Al Rosenberg, who I'm sure had it set up. So he's a great guy mixing stuff, a great sound engineer. And I didn't ask him before the game. A lot of times I'll ask him what I like, what I don't like, a little more of this, a little less of this. And I thought maybe it's possible that he was pumping in, you know, a little bit extra, and maybe that's how it came across. And I actually sent a few texts to some of my colleagues just to see how it sounded. So I'm glad to hear you thought the same thing, because I think that's the effect we were going for. I don't know if that's the exact effect that they're hearing on the floor, or if you happen to be in the crowd watching it. I have a feeling it was. And I think it was very authentic, and it made it easier as a broadcaster, too, because there's nothing worse than trying to call, you know, a sports event that has volume, and it sounds like you're on the golf course and you're trying to, you know, call the winning putt from the 18th, green. So it was nice to be able to, you know, make it sound like there was somewhat of a crowd there. And I hope it was for the players as well, because I know the energy that I need as a broadcaster, I'm sure they need as well as a player to some degree, and hopefully they got that as well.
In other words, you don't want them hearing what you have to say. You would prefer there be some noise to cover that.
I'm wondering if the plexiglass is really there so that they don't have to hear us, even though I'm sure it's there for medical purposes, but it's serving a dual purpose.
Well, I could hear everything that the referee was saying at the end. So Scott Foster was mic'd up. He was making a couple calls. There were a couple of replays. I heard everything he said over the microphone and over your broadcast.
I wish they would do that next year or the year after, whenever we get back to games that are in arenas with fans. I like that. I would love that for baseball too. When, you know, it's confusing when you have, you know, an official, you know, dealing with a critical call, and there's, you know, some kind of communication going on, whether it's a central office, and you are left to almost guess a little bit. So now he's doing that for a reason, because the administrative crew, the stats crew, is all in plexiglass. I kind of said during the broadcast it felt like, you know, going up to the teller at a bank and you have to talk through that communications device,
right?
A squawk box or whatever you want to call it. And I don't know if it was by design. It is by design because of how it's set up, but maybe it's one of those deals where they say, you know what, this might not be bad moving forward. I thought it's a great device. It takes all the guessing out, you know, from a broadcasting standpoint, and we just listen to, you know, the lead official, you know, kind of carry us through exactly what they want to do and exactly how they remedied the situations.
Mark Hestisher just finished up Clippers Lakers, the NBA on ESPN Radio. He's in the bubble in Orlando, so actually on site, not remote. It's after hours here on CBS Sports Radio. How rusty did these teams look to you?
Well, I was surprised that the Lakers looked as good as they did in the beginning. I'll credit rust for the Clippers, but, you know, they're not whole. You know, they only brought 15. You can bring 17, and they were missing five guys at one point during the scrimmage, you know, era. So they only had 10 guys going. So they seem a little behind. We talked to both head coaches earlier in the day, and Frank Vogel told us that he was pleasantly surprised at the shape that his guys arrived in when they started, you know, working out as a team for the first time. And then Doc Rivers was, you know, telling us these guys aren't in game shape yet. I'm hoping that they will be in shape by the time we get through the 8 seeding games and then get onto the first round of the playoffs. So I was not surprised at how good the Lakers looked early. I was more surprised that their, you know, whatever they were doing right in the first quarter disappeared for about two quarters of action. And then the Clippers started to get in a little groove. Paul George, if I'm going to single out one guy, looks great. I mean, he came into this season, which feels like 8 years ago, you know, back in October, coming off double shoulder surgery and was not 100% at any point during, you know, the 141 days that we did get in during the regular season. And so this four-plus month layoff has afforded him to get completely healthy. He looked great. And so him and Kawhi Leonard, you know, together, when they get up to speed, and then Montrezl Harrell and Lou Williams, when they get onto this team, makes it a very, very scary group, you know, as we head into the postseason. And I hate to say it, into October. Feels like a baseball reference, but into October.
Odd. Did you count the 141 days, or did someone do that for you?
I believe I saw that in one of the ESPN research packets, so I can't take credit for that.
I think people want to know how big this campus area is. I know the NBA would prefer we call it a campus, not a bubble, though bubble seems catchy. But how much room is there for these guys to roam, for you guys to roam? Because I know you're not supposed to have any contact with the players directly. But how large of a campus are we talking about in Orlando?
It's huge. I mean, just the athletic center is huge. And those guys are only, you know, being bused there. They're not, you know, really in the surrounding area. The resort hotels are probably 9 to 10 minutes away by bus. And then the resort itself, there's three of them for the 22 teams. The ones that the Lakers and the one that the Lakers and the Clippers are in was just built in 2019 and
wow.
is among the, you know, nicest luxury towers that they have here. I'm not in the same bubble as them, so I don't get to go over to see their the situation in their rooms. But I was watching, I think it was on The Jump today on ESPN. They had a camera in there, and just to see the recreation room with all kinds of video games and ping pong tables. And if anyone's not been to Disney, I mean, you know, it's just hundreds, might even be thousands of acres.
Mammoth.
And yeah, and there's all kinds of lakes, and you can take boats, and you can go fishing. There's golf courses galore, and you know, there's certain golf courses that you're allowed to play. There's a golf course that we're allowed to play here at our hotel. And so it doesn't feel as restrictive. And I thought, you know, Frank Vogel said something interesting to us today. He goes, you know, when I shut it down and go to the room after dinner, he goes, I put on FaceTime to my family, and it kind of feels like I'm at home. You know, I'm talking to the kids, I'm talking to my wife, and
aww.
I'm on it for hours. Now, I haven't been here as long as he has been here, so I might have to try that. But I just thought it's interesting how they're kind of adapting into the situation that's here, making the best of it. And it's, yeah, I'd say it's hardly a prison. You've got plenty of things to do, and even roaming, you know, the hotel. I'm still trying to figure out our hotel here. You know, you might not be able to hang out with people, and you always have to have your mask on, but it's not a bad setup at all. It's pretty remarkable. Whoever, and I know it's a lot of people, it's probably scores of people, had to do all the work
right.
on figuring all this out. I can't imagine all the details that had to be checked off to make this all work.
Plus the $150 million. Let's not forget about that.
That's true. It's bankrolled very well.
Yes. Mark Kestisher with us from Orlando here on CBS Sports Radio. When you talk to the coaches, and I know you did that while you're doing it via Zoom or actually on the phone, do you get the sense that they have adjusted, that this is just the new normal, quote unquote, and they are ready to go like this is any other playoff run?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, for day one, yes, because I asked that direct question to Doc Rivers. I said, what's the difference between how you're preparing for this game and how you would prepare for any road game? He goes, it's exactly the same. Now, I know they're,
wow.
you know, getting dressed at the hotel and they're not showering at the arena. But beyond that, he said, it's pretty much like a road game. The NBA has set it up. So whatever, you know, the standards are on the road, they've got that here. Obviously, they can't, you know, be free and go do whatever they want and, you know, go to restaurants or clubs or whatever.
Magic City. Magic City. That was it.
That's right. Yes, yes. You can't do that, as we found out. But I was surprised to hear that, you know, everyone seems to be adapting well. Now, again, it's 3 weeks, and the teams that are going to go deep in this, you know, restart and finish is going to be a long time. So, you know, that remains to be seen. I have no doubt that they'll be able to pull it off. But again, it's early. It's the last day of July, and we got the whole month of August, the whole month of September. And if it goes 7 games, we're talking October 13th. So it's going to be physical, and it might even be more mental.
Before I let you go, Mark, it kind of dawned on me as I was watching and then listening to your broadcast a little bit, the history of this moment. Let's hope we never see anything like this again. Now, I suppose there is a chance that the next NBA season would have to start in a bubble, but did that momentous or like the occasion itself dawn on you as you get ready to do a game and you're inside this historic bubble?
You know, I have to say that a lot of people reminded me of it leading into it, and maybe it's just my mechanism to not get caught up and psych myself out maybe. And so a lot of times, and I would say this is, you know, in my career that, you know, I've been very fortunate to do some really cool things, but it isn't until I look back on it later on that I realized, like, wow, do you have any idea that you got to be a part of, you know, X, Y, and Z? And I think it might just be a coping mechanism, because I would probably get too hyped up and too amped up, and or even, you know, try to get too flowery with the words. So I try to grasp the moment, but I'm not sure I'm really understanding, you know, just what's happening, or, you know, how big it's going to be from so many efforts to finish a basketball season, you know, in Orlando, from the social aspect of what the players and coaches and the league are trying to get across. So it's, but yes, it's been mentioned to me many times, you know, like, do you realize how big this moment might be in history? And I'm like, yeah, I'm trying not to know. I'm trying not to think about it right now, but it is pretty cool. And I think eventually, you're right, we may end up starting the season next year in a series of bubbles. So it might not be, you know, the once in the lifetime, but it kind of feels like it is.
It definitely does.
I hope.
It does. It feels like this is a 2020 or a year we may never see again. And as much as I think most of us will be fine bidding farewell to it, at the same time, there are these moments, these historical moments that I don't want to forget either, because of the effort that went into it, especially when you think about something as huge as getting the NBA playoffs accomplished or the NHL playoffs accomplished. So it's kind of cool that you're our insider from Orlando. And if you want to see the photo, you can check out Mark's Twitter account at Mark Kestisher, M-A-R-C. Just finished calling Lakers Clippers from inside the bubble. Pretty cool view, even if it is through plexiglass, Mark. I hope that you are safe, but it's great to talk to you. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes.
Great talking with you, too. I'll try to be better on the Twitter and put up some more pictures, because when you said the picture, I'm like, oh, singular. I think there was something that was said between the lines there.
No. That's not what I meant. I just think it's cool for people to be able to see your perspective, because we're not getting very many photos or videos from inside the bubble other than what we're seeing on the broadcast, which, as I say, is pretty standard tight shots on the players or tight shots on the half court. In fact, if you wanted to, you could go to NBA TV even now and watch a replay of Lakers Clippers. And that season series was salty. They split it. It would be interesting to see these two teams in the Western Conference Finals, though we shouldn't get ahead of ourselves just yet. That could be months down the road. And here we are putting July to bed. What was the best thing about the month of July in your world? You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, I'm going to put a spot up here. I didn't want to type while I was talking to Mark. That would be unfair.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
It wasn't a Judgy and Blast, and it wasn't Adios Pelota, interestingly enough. I like Ricky Ricardo's choice of words. Adios Amigo, as in adios friend, goodbye friend. Maybe he was referring to the baseball. Maybe he was referring to Aaron Judge as he was trotting away around the bases. But a three-run blast after the Yankees coughed up a lead against the Orioles. Man, Baltimore fans just about thought they were going to get a victory over the New York Yankees.
All rise.
We miss you, John Sterling. Hope that you are feeling better. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Ricardo filling in for John Sterling on the Yankees Radio Network. On Twitter or Facebook, I did put it up on our Facebook page with the month of July nearly in the rearview mirror. Can you believe it? Friday is the last day of July. I can't believe it. I keep saying it because I'm hoping it will become reality to me. Although I'm pretty excited. I'm taking my first mini road trip, my first travel of any kind since early March. I'm not going very far, but I am going to stay overnight with some friends in Connecticut, and I'm looking forward to that. Should be fun. Actually going to play golf for the first time, well, in years. I haven't golfed in the last couple years. I feel guilty about it. I hate it, but I just got to rip off the Band-Aid and get back to it and hope that I can find some people to play golf with. So that is actually how I'm wrapping up July, my first mini road trip, oh my gosh, in almost 5 months. And playing golf in what could be heat and humidity. But it doesn't matter, because maybe that will distract my playing partner from how bad my game is. Best part of July for you on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Chris, I don't know if he's being sincere, but I do think this is a positive. Not getting killed by the murder hornets. All right. I mean, you're still kicking. You're still alive. You're still kicking. You're still ticking. So that is definitely a positive. Gary on Twitter, 2020, even with perfect vision, nobody saw this coming. But he says, I would vote baseball's return, although it took way too long. Yeah, you know what, Gary? Let it go. Just welcome baseball back. Let it go. You'll feel so much better after you forgive, even if you don't forget. You'll enjoy the game a little more. He says, side note, I still like the KBO baseball as well. So again, it's up on our Facebook page. You can find it there, and I can't wait to read your answers. With the NBA, the NHL returning, the nights are definitely busier. I will give you that. It's really something I've had to get back into the practice of doing, get back into the habit of doing. So now combined with Major League Baseball, with basketball and hockey, and even though they're not quite the same formats, so it's not as though we've got 8 games going on each night in the first round of the playoffs. So that's what kind of where I feel like we should be, but we're not quite there yet. We will get there. But we've got these seeding games in the NBA first, and then those 5-game series that start, essentially launch us forward into the Stanley Cup playoffs. But once we settle in, it's going to be the busiest August of all time in sports. Usually August is about the ramp up to the NFL and college football seasons. But it's going to be about NBA and NHL playoffs. Labor Day is going to be odd, right? We also have the PGA Championship, golf's first major, coming up next week. I know we've talked about how 2020 is a year unlike any other, but heavens, just in sports, August is a year unlike any other. And if there wasn't an asterisk next to the 2020 baseball season before, there probably was. There definitely is one now. Did you see the latest rule change that Major League Baseball is adopting? If you didn't, you'll hear me explain it coming up next. I just can't anymore look at it. I'm going to enjoy it. But this is not a season that will in any way, to me, feel legitimate. I'm glad the guys are playing. I'm glad they're getting paid. I'm glad that the various industries that can make some money off baseball are also seeing that income. But this is a far cry from what we normally get, and it just doesn't feel legit to me. The more they tweak it, the less it feels legit to me. Not to mention those 8 failed proposals that we wasted all our time with.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
That's the voice of Michael Brantley from the Houston Astros. He was talking about the extra inning changes that baseball has instituted in this wacky 2020 campaign. And of course, you've seen it by now, or you've heard me talk about it. There is a runner automatically put on second base in extra innings. So runner in scoring position right away. Teams don't have to earn it. It's just there. Poof. So that takes a little getting used to, as he talks about. It's a little gimmicky. I didn't like it when they were toying with the idea before, and that was pre-pandemic. It was the commissioner, Rob Manfred, throwing ideas out there because he was so obsessed with speeding up pace of play. That's really become a thing of the past, right? But I guess he is technically getting what he wants. Did you see what baseball is doing next? It's very little league-ish, but you know, there's a lot of that going around. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS, and it's sponsored by Geico. Did you know right now Geico offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies, and that's on top of what Geico can already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. 855-212-4CBS. Baseball and the Players Association agreed to 7-inning doubleheaders starting Saturday. So when these teams have to play doubleheaders, And because of the condensed season, because of the changes necessitated by games postponed, maybe even some weather-related issues. We had Cubs-Reds postponed by rain on Thursday. This is all because they anticipate more scheduling snafus. That's such a good word. And it's spelled just like it sounds. Snafu. Shmoo. Anyway, so this is not just a reactive move. It's also a preemptive strike. That would have been better. Shoot, I should have thought of that first. So what they're doing is they're shortening doubleheaders to 7 innings. And according to the multiple reports that were out there, they actually agreed to this pretty quickly. I guess because 60 games is so taxing, the whole situation, just it requires so much mental and physical toughness. I actually do agree that it requires more mental toughness than usual because you can't mindlessly show up at the ballpark without everything else that you have to do and to go through. But I don't know that it's necessary to shorten doubleheaders. I get it. They don't have a lot of days off, but how many days off did they have before the season started? Baseball essentially sent everybody home from spring training in mid-March, about the same time that the NBA and the NHL shut down, same time roughly that college basketball, March Madness was canceled. All these guys have said all this time is we want to play. Tell us when and where. No, they also said we're not playing for less money, but you know, we're for now, money's not part of the equation, briefly, momentarily. And now it becomes too much. They can't play a regular doubleheader. They have to play a 7-inning doubleheader. I don't really understand the reasoning behind it. It's not like they're going to play more than 2 games in one day. Doubleheaders are not a new phenomenon in Major League Baseball. They have doubleheaders all the time. Twi-night doubleheaders, day-night doubleheaders, split ticket doubleheaders, split admission, where you have to clear out the stadium, that's not an issue this year, to let the next group of fans come in. Now, the Blue Jays, the Phillies was postponed for Saturday. That was supposed to be a doubleheader. So, actually, the only one they had scheduled has now been postponed. You may have heard this, but 2 Phillies staff members, not players, but 2 Phillies staff members tested positive for COVID. And so it's good. It has not spread to the players. Of course, there was some fear of that after they played Sunday against the Marlins. And we know the Marlins were well on their way to an outbreak at that point. But still, the players themselves, they're all relatively clean outside of the Marlins, who are still quarantined in Philadelphia. And I actually read this one account that it's becoming really difficult for them because they don't see anyone else unless it's for testing. So according to the account I read, the only time they leave their rooms is for testing. And then they see other members of their team. And I know it's not all of them who went out on the town. I get it. They didn't all do something to deserve this. And really, no one deserves it. But they didn't all run amok of the rules and the guidelines. They didn't all decide, hey, it'd be a great idea to go out in Atlanta right before we start our season. They didn't all do that. Some of them, they got the virus because of a, most of them got the virus because of a bad decision by a teammate or 2 teammates. And so I feel bad for them mostly, but I still say it's better that one team goes through this than a half dozen or a dozen. This is a cautionary tale. This is a warning with flashing red lights. This is the arms dropping down across the train tracks, and you're hearing ding, 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 and the red lights are flashing. So you physically would have to drive your car through these arms that drop down across the road to protect the train tracks and protect you from the train tracks. If you're blind, you can still hear the dinging, the bells. If you're unable to hear, you can still see the flashing red lights. There's no way you can miss this warning from the Miami Marlins. You have to be in complete defiance to try something like that yourself if you're a member of another baseball team. So I hate that they have to go through it, but I still say it's better that one team or one guy, two guys, makes this poor choice and that everyone can see the potential and what might happen when you play fast and loose with your team's health and also your team's season. I don't know if we'll ever find out. I do know there's an investigation going on. I don't know if we're going to find out who it was that went out, who it was that's patient zero. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So right now there are no doubleheaders scheduled. However, there will be at someplace, sometime, some point. And this is what I mean about it feels little leaguish, because this is what they do in the minor leagues and in college. I always felt like the 9-inning games, that kind of set major leagues apart. It's a little bit like having 5 setters in the tennis majors on the men's side. It requires a little extra. It requires a little more. You get to the major leagues, you're going the distance, baby. And to top it all off, the cherry on top of the whipped cream on top of the sundae, when they get to the extra innings, and in this case, with a doubleheader, it would be the 8th inning. So let's say they're tied after 7. They go into the 8th inning. Guess what? Dave, guess what you see when they go into the 8th inning of a doubleheader moving forward in Major League Baseball?
Runner on second?
A runner on second. So now it's not just a runner on second in extra innings. It's a runner on second in the 8th inning. Just no. As I said before the update at the bottom of the hour, if there wasn't already an asterisk next to the 2020 season, and there probably was, maybe I was holding out hope that it would feel legitimate to me, it no longer does. The asterisk is big and bold and brash and staring at us next to 2020 in the baseball record books. It's not even in the record books yet, and the asterisk is already there. Let's talk to Matthew, who's in Maryland. Welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I just wanted to say, I feel like it's pretty clear why they made it so that doubleheaders would only be 7 innings. And that's because if anyone thinks that the outbreak that the Marlins has just seen is a one-off and not a signal that this is going to happen throughout baseball, throughout multiple teams to come, then they clearly aren't paying attention, because it's going to happen. And when that happens, there are going to be plenty of teams that can't play 2 games, 3 games, 4 games. And when one team can't play against another, then that means that that other team's schedule gets messed up. And as a result, doubleheaders are going to start stacking up unless Manfred decides that he wants some teams to not play 60 games. Which there's just no way he's going to decide that there should be less baseball. So this is a way for him to sneak in more games, because there's going to be a time when players are playing back-to-backs, back-to-back. And 14 innings a day, multiple days in a row, is enough, much less 18 innings. So I think it's pretty much the only solution they can come up with, where there are going to be all of the teams playing 60 games, given that baseball is not going to enter a bubble, and there's absolutely zero chance that all teams finish the season without having a major outbreak. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Matthew. I think that was directed at me, because I am one of those people that does not believe it has to happen. I don't. Baseball is a sport where you can, in fact, keep your distance. It's not a contact sport, but even more, these are human beings that make choices. So I have been, me, my family, my friends, we are not in a bubble either. We've made smart choices over the course of the last 4.5 months, and no one that I know other than my yoga instructor, who I have not seen in person, has the virus. So, I mean, I get it. These guys are together. They're traveling, yada, yada. But you know what? My whole family traveled to visit me in June, and none of us have the virus. So, to me, it's about smart choices. Sometimes it's not your fault. Sometimes you get handed the virus by someone else on your team. I get it. But if everyone's making smart choices, I don't think it's impossible. Yeah, you may have a clubhouse guy. You may have a team with one or two staffers. I think that if you have players that you trust, you have teammates that you trust, and they're taking care of themselves, they're thinking about their teammates, they're thinking about their families, they're making smart choices, it's not a foregone conclusion that there's going to be an outbreak in Major League Baseball. Again, all of my family and friends, none of us have had it, and we're not stuck in our homes. We're out living life. We're just being really smart. We're wearing our masks. We're being careful where we go. We're washing our hands. I mean, I don't think it's impossible, Matthew. I just don't agree with you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.